Ready? Good evening. I will call the regular meeting of Council of July 11, 2019 to order at 7:01 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
And Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Just to share, Councilman Hollum has an appointment, so he will be leaving the meeting in a little while.
Thank you.
Before we start our business, I'd like to introduce Pastor Dan from the Calvary Assembly of God Church. He's joined us this evening to start our meeting in a prayer. Pastor Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor and Council President, Council. Just want to say as we go to prayer, it's an honor to serve the community with you, and thank you. And I can just would like to just say I pray for you often. And my prayer for you, as I pray with you tonight, is for wisdom. So the Word of God says that wisdom is a good thing to be had. We build upon it, we make great decisions out of it. So fear the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom that we need. So I'd like to pray with and for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to serve our nation, serve our community, serve you. And we do that in humility, God. I thank you for those who serve, those who have been elected, those who volunteer. And God, as we consider the great privilege and also the great honor tonight of serving our community, we recognize the need for your guidance and for your grace. So, Heavenly Father, I do ask, Lord, for those who serve, that they would serve in humility, that tonight as we, again, recall the words of Scripture, that the respect and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that all those who need wisdom can ask, James tells us, and you give generously. So I do pray, God, that you'll grant the wisdom we need, Lord, as we, I'm sure tonight, reflect on some of the wonderful faithfulness you provided this community in the recent past, and the grace we need as we consider finances and opportunities and room for improvement and growth as we look forward. So in all humility, God, we ask that you would grant us wisdom. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dan, very much.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
I would like to make a motion to amend tonight's council meeting agenda to include a presentation by Willoughby Hills resident and president Robin Rowell of UH Richmond Hospital for the donation of 21 bleeding kits to the Willoughby Hills Police and Fire Departments to help prepare them to respond to a single or mass shooting or any other traumatic incidents.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to amend tonight's meeting agenda to include a presentation by Robin Rowan, president of UH Hospital, for donating 21 bleeding kits to the Willoughby Hills Police and Fire Department to help prepare those to respond to singular mass shooting or traumatic accidents. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Hollum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Tonight's agenda has been amended. So, Chiefs, if you want to come up, and Robin, it would be wonderful.
No, thank you for allowing me to be here tonight with Dan Ellenberger, who's going to be shy and come on over here.
Hey.
He's our Director of Emergency Services. We are so fortunate to be in this region. When I took the position recently, I was so proud to be over a hospital that actually is within a community that I live and feel like I can make an impact. So, with Dan President's help and the support of your leadership, I'm glad to be here tonight. Thank you.
So, are you familiar with the bleeding control? All
right. Hey, Dan. Stop the bleeding.
Oh, there's people listening. Okay. All right. So Stop the Bleed is was put together by the Department of Defense and actually with the ACS, the American College of Surgeons. University hospitals about 2 or 3 years ago started to really embark on a journey to work with law enforcement, fire, and also schools with Stop the Bleed. And so Stop the Bleed is basically tourniquets. So if you remember the Las Vegas shooting, probably the last one, a lot of lives were saved by tourniquets. And you guys, most of you folks, have a tourniquet on yourselves. You have a belt. But when we have the law enforcement officers and we're thinking about they're out on 90 in a single unit traffic stop and something happens to them, God forbid, we want them to be able to provide a tourniquet for themselves. Because number one, they've got between 30 and 60 seconds if they're shot in the leg to live or die. So it's really about self-help with them. So these kits actually are set so that they can be in the cruisers, but also the fire department and the paramedics, when they need to make a rapid entry, they need to have these devices on board on themselves, so a couple of the different devices themselves, so they can render care and keep moving. So we met a couple weeks ago and thought that this was a good thing to do here, especially with Robin being the new president and being a resident, that to protect our own. So that's sort of where this all came from. So it's just part of our building life-saving communities. Was one of the top 10 innovations in EMS last year, and it was on the Stop the Bleed program. And the schools were actually putting Stop the Bleed buckets, and also in churches. So if you wanted to do anything in the church, because unfortunately, we even have acts of violence in the churches. But we're actually putting bleeding control kits in every classroom in several different school systems in Lake County, Cuyahoga County. That's part of our community health needs assessment. But we're really we're looking at providing this to the community also, because really all of you are a first responder when it comes to CPR. How many are trained in CPR? Hands high, be proud. If you're, if you're not, please get with the chief later. You're going to have to stay after council and learn CPR. All right? But no, seriously, the only way that the fire department or the police department can save lives is with your help. So if somebody's bleeding at a car accident, and you're the first one there, you're helping to stop that bleed will save their life. Cardiac arrest. We can't do a great job at the hospital with cardiac interventions without somebody starting CPR. And so that's what we're here for. So if there's community outreach events that you need, please call the hospital, let us know, get a hold of the chief. We'll be out here to help you with anything that you need, that's including the church. Okay? All right, thanks. I know you want to keep your council meeting going, so
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
Everybody have a great evening. Be safe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Hey. Moving on to business this evening. We have ordinance number 2019-49. Vicki, will you read the ordinance, please?
I'm sorry.
If you could read ordinance 49.
It's a public hearing.
2019-49 for the public hearing.
I have it. An ordinance adopting a tax budget for the fiscal year 2020 for the city of Willoughby Hills.
Thank you. So this particular ordinance requires that we have a public hearing. So I'm going to open the public portion at 7:10 p.m. Anyone from the public is welcome to come forward. This public hearing is only in reference to the tax budget for the fiscal year, and we do this every year. So if you have any questions or concerns and you'd like to voice them, this is your opportunity to do that now. I will close public portion at 7:10. The public hearing, I should say. Okay. The next is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting of June 27, 2019.
Madam President.
Mr. President Plushnick.
Motion to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of June 27, 2019.
Second. I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of June 27, 2019. Is there any discussion on that motion? Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Lentz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The regular council meeting minutes of June 27, 2019 have been adopted. The next is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Special thanks to UH President Robin Rowell and University Hospital for the donations of the Stop the Bleed kits. They will be put to good use by our police and fire department. In other police and fire news updates, our Civil Service Commission administered the police department's promotional examination on July 1st. All six candidates passed the exam and now will be interviewed for the sergeant position to replace Sergeant Brian Jackson, who retired earlier this year. Best of luck to all the candidates as they complete the process. The Civil Service Commission has also planned to administer police and fire exams in September to seek full-time candidates. Notification will be going out in the near future. The police substation continues to prepare for the ribbon cutting and anticipate it very soon, hopefully by the end of July. We're waiting for some phone service. That seems to be the hang-up.
That's a pun.
The resurfacing of the streets in the Glen, typically, specifically Trailered, Mayfriars, and Glengate, has begun today. And if you remember last year, what they do is they go and recycle all the old asphalt on the streets. Once that's done, it's got to settle for about 10 days or more, and then they put the final coat of asphalt on it. So don't think it's done when they're done recycling. Recycle magnets are expected to be mailed out next week, along with the recycle pamphlet letter from Republic regarding the current rate increase, which I also have. By the way, it's on the agenda for tonight's second reading. With the recent water main break on Worrell Road, Water Department will be closing Worrell Road from Route 6 to Kelsey Court this Friday, tomorrow, for a period of 3 to 5 hours. They will turn the water back on once it's repaired. But the streets affected are Worrell, Chimney Ridge, Hemlock, Hunter's Woods, Kelsey Court, Millgate, Rogers Road, Sherbrooke Valley, Sleepy Hollow Drive, Valley Brook Drive, and Windy Hill. So it's quite a bit of people. They thought they would wait till 9 o'clock, and they'll commence work then. On June 20th, 2019, the city underwent a visit by insurance carrier PEP, or Public Pool of Ohio. The individual only had 4 recommendations after spending a day with us. The recommendations were enhance the safety and shared parking lot for Campbell Park. Superintendent Grubis is working on developing a plan to reduce liability in this area, so we're ensured that our parking lot is free of potholes, cracks, sitting at slight imperfection, parking lots or sidewalks can create a tripping hazard to potential lawsuits. Ballards are suggested at the corners of the fire station doors. Superintendent Grubis is working with Chief Gandy to facilitate this enhancement, which will protect the vehicles and the building. Minimum fine signs, plaques are required to accompany all handicap reserve signs. The signs were ordered already by Superintendent Grubis. An employee handbook should be developed. And public utilities entities tool provides a free tool to create the handbook from start to finish using an excellent Ohio resource library that's approved by the insurance company. Because we are provided this tool for free, I once again will advise counsel I'm not supporting Ordinance 2054, which would have to allocate over $6,000 to create a handbook. I understand this is important, as the law director has pointed out. However, I'm not willing to spend the residents' tax dollar for something we can get free. Get well wishes to Assistant Finance Director Sharon Mulcahy as she's recovering from surgery on Monday. Sympathy to the family of Nancy Turo, who passed away last month. Finally, congratulations are in order for Councilman Hallam, Finance Director Berkchek, and Executive Assistant Gloria Majeski, and the residents of Willoughby Hills, as I received notification from the State Auditor, the Special Investigation Unit, that has their investigation of the Whisper Program on other cases involving the city of Willoughby Hills have been concluded. Further, the State Investigative Unit, please advise that on June 20th, the investigation by the SIU was closed and the complaint was unfounded. This means the Auditor Special Investigation Unit took 9 months to review every receipt, every time a timesheet was filled out, and found nothing to substantiate the individual of our senior program. This concludes the criminal investigation, which also included the Lake County Prosecutor, Ohio Jobs and Family Services, Delta Protection Agency, and Bureau of Criminal Investigation, who all have come back to deny any criminal activity. It is now time to open the Whisper Program as once again to our residents. However, I will no longer have one person to take the request or denials. I would have a committee of four individuals, which the police chief has already volunteered to be part of it, if it were reopened. If council decides not to reopen the program, I will hereby direct the finance director to return all funds into the Whisper program who donated these funds. They are not permitted to be used in other newly established programs. I would ask assistance since February 18th, when Ordinance 2018-11 to suspend the Whisper program was passed by council. Now that it has been fully investigated, it's time to move forward and take care of our seniors. In closing, I'd like to announce the following events. The First Covenant Car Show, which is Sunday, July 27th from 3 to 9, and our garage sale day, Saturday, August 3rd. Remember to get your name on the master list that does all the advertising for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. You had a lot to share. Any questions for the mayor this evening?
Mayor, do you have any suggestions as to the Whisper program, as to the four people, or how you would like to see that proceed? Have you thought of it that far ahead yet?
Well, I would have the chief and two other volunteers, two or three, from the community to volunteer on that.
Has anyone stepped up that perhaps has senior citizen involvement or that sort of thing? That
not yet. We just started to research the deal.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. President, so recently in my mailbox, I don't know if anybody else had it, I think Councilwoman Micah has one, there was an article or either a website article about Perry Village. Two of their council members had come and spent a considerable amount of time with your secretary to discuss the Whisper program from Willoughby Hills. I wasn't there, but I would assume how things went, where it could improve, things like that. But what was interesting was that Perry Village came back, and so they're investigating in their own village to begin a community assistance program as well. And they are starting with the committee. And they are also having a council representative on their committee as well. And it's not going to be just for seniors. It would be for any adult that might need assistance, but they're also going to develop an eligibility criteria list so that they have some guidelines to work with when people come forward asking for help or for needs. So I found the article really good, and I'm glad that they came and discussed things with Gloria so they could get some ideas as well. I'm sure it was very helpful and as they move forward with their program. But I was glad to see that they were going to also start with a committee, so I'm glad to hear that you're moving in that direction as well.
Thank you.
Mayor Weger, I would like to be on that committee.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Madam President, could I ask somebody at the back, maybe Anthony, would you open the council door so we can not only get airflow, but it doesn't seem like it's shut off from people? Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you. The next is our law director's report, Mr. O'Leary.
Thank you, Madam President. I just have a couple of things. Since the last time that we met, most of my time has been spent on the police prosecutor position. Mike Germano finished up last week, so I met with him and Jim Hours and went through the 25 or so pending files in order to familiarize myself with it. Yesterday, I did the prosecution for the cases that we had. Fortunately, there was only, I think, 10 or 12. But there were involved cases, unfortunately, including a preliminary hearing on a felony. And so it took the better part of the day, which is not unusual for the police prosecutor. You do have a resolution before you tonight to approve Todd Cipolla. I am recommending that you do that. I will be there to help walk him through everything. He's obviously an experienced attorney, but it's helpful to have somebody that's been in Willoughby Municipal Court for the last, I don't know how many years I've been there, with Kirtland Hills Village. And between us, we'll be able to take care of the prosecution of the cases and the mayor's court. So I do encourage that you proceed with that. I did also send to council and requested that we approve an agreement with Clemens Nelson as it pertains to the employee handbook. I know that the mayor and I have a little bit of a disagreement about it, only because I like the idea of bringing in a professional, even if you have to pay for it, in order to make sure that you have everything in order and assured when it's done that not only is it in order, but that they stand behind it for, I think, a year to come back and make any revisions that need to be. I think the way that I like to look at it is I can do plumbing, but I don't always like the results. And so that's why I call a plumber, and that's how I feel about this situation. So that's my report for tonight.
Thank you, Mr. O'Leary. Any questions for the law director this evening?
Madam President, I would just like to say that I had the pleasure of speaking with our municipal court judge, who assured me that Mr. O'Leary and Mr. Cipolla will do a fine job and be able to handle the cases going forward for our city. So I think that also is a nice vote of confidence for this arrangement.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Leary.
Madam President.
Madam President, Mr. O'Leary, did you have a chance to review the draft version of the employee handbook at this time?
I've not received it.
I requested it since we've been talking about it to what we had so far. So there's something, some draft available, and as I understand, it's okay. It's available electronically, so
yeah.
You can review it. and you're working on it, and it's PEP has, who is our professionals at this, have offered their assistance to the city for free, and their input is also coincides with our existing union contracts, which rule over most other policies that you might put in place. So we actually already have existing state law, federal law, and union contracts.
Right.
So my question is, who else are we talking about here? That
it's basically about six people.
Okay.
That are non-union, and over the last 15 years, we haven't had any problems. But that's not to say that we will or we won't. But it's a good thing to have, and right now we're the copy you have is the copy we had originally. We're trying to incorporate some of the police department's policies and the fire department's policies within it.
There is an extensive police and fire department policy and procedure section that equals just about what is already in here. So
right.
Incorporating these two would be substantial. So there's quite a bit there already that is in place from what I
read. Like a lot of them don't apply to regular employees because they don't have the excessive use of force and things like that. So
right, and wearing jeans on a Friday doesn't apply to a police officer or a firefighter. So,
right.
You know, those are some of the things that are in the handbook that, you know, it's a policy of the city, you know, to have, say, a casual Friday, but there's some parameters around it, right? Okay.
Madam President.
Go ahead.
As long as we're weighing in on this, I just wanted to say that I like the idea of bringing the outside vendor in, not only because of the things that have already been stated, but because when the gentleman came here to do his presentation, he is also, he himself or he has on staff, CERB-trained employees, which I think is a very valuable asset. Had we had that kind of resource in the last couple of years, we would have gotten our money's worth. And I think $6,000 is a very nominal amount to get not only a very quality handbook put together, but to have these attorneys services for union negotiation, et cetera, any union matters available also.
Madam President, and also do we have employees here in Willoughby Hills working on this draft of a manual, Mayor?
Yes.
So I think it's important that we understand that that's not free. Our taxpayers are paying for those employees, for their time, and any time they're spending on that, they're not spending providing services to the residents. So while we might think that's, you know, it's fair to say or argue that that's an acceptable expense of paying for their time to do that, that might be something we can argue, but it's not free. So I think it's important to understand that.
Madam President, yeah, I certainly didn't intimate that it was free what the employee has already done. From what I gathered, it was about 30 hours so far to contribute that, but that is the position of HR in our city, is to do something like that. It falls exactly under the purview of what we pay that person for.
Madam President,
Vice President,
I would just disagree. I think that Dawn is a very hardworking and valued member of our team, but she's certainly not a lawyer, and she's expressed to me and to others at some point she sometimes feels over her head. So to give her a task that she's never done before, dealing with, as you yourself said, federal, state, local law, as well as union contracts, I don't think it would be fair to expect that of Dawn. I'm sure she will do whatever she's asked to the best of her ability, but to expect her to have the competency of a labor attorney would not be a fair expectation. I think she does a wonderful job in HR. I'm very grateful for her help, but I wouldn't want to impose on her the abilities of an astronaut, a lawyer, and a brain surgeon. None of us are capable of doing everything.
Madam President, final thought is that, yes, I agree that she might not be the expert. She's certainly not a lawyer, but we do have a lawyer on our staff who is able to reach out to others at any time to ask for advice on certain areas that he doesn't feel comfortable with.
Madam President, that's precisely what Mr. O'Leary is suggesting that we do, is hire help for him in this regard. Also, I think it's important to understand that the employee manual needs to both represent the needs of our employees and our staff, of course, but it also needs to represent the interests of the employer, which is our taxpayers. So it's very important that that manual also reflects all of the interests of our residents and taxpayers, as well as the employees and everyone in our city.
Mr. O'Leary?
Did you tell I wanted to say something?
Yes, I did. I felt the vibe.
You picked that up. Listen, the idea of bringing an outside group doesn't mean that they're just going to come in and they're going to hand us a handbook and we got to live by it. The idea is that they're going to come in, meet with the employees, go over what we already have in place, incorporate what we have in order to have one cohesive document. You already admitted it tonight, Councilman Fiebig. You've got policies, procedures from the police. You've got the employee manual as written, and somehow those have to be melded together. I can tell you, I've tried to put contracts from two different places together, and it's very difficult to do so and make sure that even the language is common from one to the other. That's why you bring in an outside group. So, again, it was my recommendation. I've been making this recommendation, I think, since February. I just think it's time for Willoughby Hills to get this put to bed.
Thank you. Let's move on. Otherwise, we're going to take this topic and put it in a committee. So, finance directors, excuse me?
Which isn't a bad idea to talk about this a little more. There's obviously some things to debate about this. And so I hope we would. Thank you.
Finance director support, Mr. Berkachek.
I'd request that ordinance number 2019-49 adopting the city's tax budget for the year 2020 be adopted at tonight's meeting. By state law, the tax budget has to be adopted by no later than July 15th. Probably the single most important item in the information with the tax budget is the reminder that the road levy expires in 2020. And it is a five-year voted levy that will a decision will need to be made to either allow the levy to expire or to renew the levy or to let the levy expire and propose a new levy to the voters. Without that action, the road levy funding will cease in 2021. We received the first half bill from the municipal court, our share. For this year, increased to approximately 17% of the excess operating costs of the court. Fortunately, the municipal court had a good first half, so its allocable cost was lower than I would have anticipated. The representatives of the member communities met with the clerk of courts. Myself and the mayor attended. In which we all expressed our concerns to the clerk regarding the operating cost of the court as it continues to rise. We requested additional information from the court to attempt to get a better estimate of what second half expenses are going to be, because based on the remaining budget, the first half chargeback was approximately $13,000. The second half chargeback based on the budget, which I don't believe it will come out to this number, but potentially could be $107,000, our share. So we've requested more information from the court to try to clarify that. I believe that number is actually too high because I believe that the court's revenue estimates were too low, and I know that they have not filled all of the positions that the city will be authorized them to man during the first 6 months of the year, so that money will not be spent in the second 6 months. But it's just it's good that we expressed our concern to the court. And other than that, I have nothing else to report.
Thank you, Mr. Berkachek. Any questions for the finance director this evening?
Madam President?
Yes.
Finance Director Berkachek, would you mind just giving a brief explanation of the tax budget so that we, just for the residents,
sure,
to understand? I think that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. If you pay attention to council meetings right now, if you happen to watch community access channels, you'll see that virtually every city in the in the state at this time of the year is having these, is going through this process. The tax budget is the first step in the budgetary process. And its primary purpose is for the communities to demonstrate to the county budget commissions the need for their property tax levies. And the tax budget, it's in terms of the budget, the numbers in the tax budget are based upon the 2019 budget. And I should have noted that there's no change in the proposed property tax rates. We will continue at the same rate that we've been at since, I believe, 2006. The only potential change in the property levy would be really coming the decision next year that I mentioned regarding the road levy. The road levy is a voted levy, and by law it's limited to 5 years. And 5 years ago, the city passed a levy to fund, you know, to levy two and a half mills. I'm sorry, to renew the levy of 2.5 mills for purposes of road maintenance, and that's what goes into our fund number 270. It generates about $600,000 a year, and like I said, that's, you know, the decisions facing the city would be to either allow the levy to expire, which I think is unrealistic because it would virtually leave us with no road program. One option that the city would have would be to renew the existing levy. And what that does is that for the property taxpayer, the homeowners, it protects the rollbacks that they receive, that the homeowners receive from the state of Ohio. The state of Ohio, prior to 5 years ago, reimburses the city 12.5% of a property tax levy. So when the city levies a dollar of property tax, the state would give the homeowner a credit of 12.5%, a residential homeowner, a commercial homeowner would receive a 10% credit. In the state's budgetary process a few years ago, the state eliminated the rollback credits and reimbursements on new levies. So if this levy is renewed, the rollback credits would continue. If the levy is allowed to expire and replaced by a new levy, then that new levy would have the 12.5% credit that the property taxpayers receive, that would be lost. So, it's really a critical thing. I mean, my suggestion, would be, when an existing levy is renewed, when you look at a property tax levy on the ballot when you're voting on it, whether it's the city or the schools, it will specify a millage, but under levies that are affected by State House Bill 920. You are voting on the millage, but it's a little more complicated than that. What actually goes in place is the amount of revenue that would be generated by that millage at the time that it's voted on. So when a property tax levy is renewed, currently the road levy, the last time around it was renewed, and so the road levy is based upon. I believe it's the 2007 property tax duplicate. So while the road levy, the gross rate is two and a half mils, the effective rate is about 2.3 mils. So what it does is that the property tax levy can't generate any more money than it would generate when it was voted on. So that's what happens in the renewal. With a new levy, it would come in. For example, like if this was a new levy coming on the next tax bill, it would come on at the rate of 2.5 mils, and then not your individual property, but the total tax duplicate for the city of Willoughby Hills, as it rises in value, the effective millage will go down. So if you look at almost all school levies are affected this way. So if you look at your property tax bill, it will show a gross levy and it will show an effective levy. And gross millage and an effective millage. And the effective millage is what the taxpayer is paying. and then the credits that the state applies to the tax bill then are based on that effective millage. So I hope I didn't tell you how to build a watch if you want, just want to know what time it is. But it's an, this is an, you know, it's an important step, as property taxes is our second largest source of revenue, and it's a it's a relatively steady, stable revenue source for the city. It doesn't have fluctuate as wildly as income tax can.
Thank you.
And the decision, you can have this in committee. You can go with a renewal, a new, or a combination of both, so you don't lose the credit that the resident gets. So whatever it produces in this year, if you need an increase, you still retain that one and put another mill on it or so.
Yeah, and that's what I would, if we want to generate more money for the road levy, that's what I would recommend, is renew the existing levy and have an additional levy to generate, you know, to generate the new dollars. And one other thing I probably should have mentioned is that when you pay your property tax bill, you pay it 1 year in arrears. So the property tax bill that you're paying in this year in 2019 is really for 2018. So the next step in this tax budget process will be in November, once the county auditor settles the final valuation of of the duplicate, because there's always changes in the, there's some changes in the duplicate from either people appealing their value, demolition of property, or construction of new property. Once those final figures are known, the next step will be is the county will certify to the city the property tax rate. And then the city then has to adopt that property tax rate. That's the actual levying of the taxes. And so this would be the levy in November. We will certify the 2019 tax rate for collection in 2020. So if you've ever sold a home, you would realize that you have to, when you go to settle, your proceeds are reduced by the estimated property taxes from January 1st of the year you're selling it up to the date of the sale, and that's the reason why, because like I said, they're 1 year in arrears and they're based upon the value of the property on January 1st of that year.
Madam President, Ms. Brickchek, the January 10th, just about 5 years ago, so July 10th of 2014 is when council voted to submit.
Right.
This so timing wise, did this expire at the end of 19, or does this expire at the end of 20?
It expires for tax in tax years 19. So in 2020 would be the last year that this levy that was authorized in 14 will be collected.
So for timing and when council would should they choose to pass this would be, then of course this goes to a vote of the people, because people decide. But this November, there's an election. There's a primary election next year. And then there's, the
general
election next year. So we have three opportunities without having a special election, of course.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right. And that would be, if you decided to put it on the ballot in November of this year, that would be the 2020 tax rate for collection in 2021.
And we would have to do that probably by the next meeting, I would think.
I'm not sure.
Be able to get it in, just timing wise.
I think it has. I think it's
the 7th. No, the 7th of August.
Okay.
Right.
So right now, realistically, you have two dates: the primary and the general next year. Unlike the school system, is putting on a special election for their levy, and it costs $55,000 for them to do. So what would be best if you do it in the primary, get passed, and forget about it?
Yeah, just so everyone knows, is that all the governments are assessed the cost of elections by the county. So if you can put any issue on when it's a regularly scheduled election, it's always the least expensive. As the mayor said, if you do a special election, unless somebody else will join you and put levy issues on and then special election, you're billed back for the full cost of the election.
So just to share, the mayor and I had a conversation about this today, and I also shared with him that I had called the Board of Elections so that I could understand the process and the elections when we would have the opportunity to put this on, the levy on, which, of course, the first one is November, which we're fast coming to, which is almost not realistic, and it doesn't have to be because we have the option to do it at the primary, but absolutely by next year's November election. So just to help myself be clarified about it, and then having discussion with the Board of Election and the mayor today, I have a better understanding of the whole process.
Final point, the primary for this next year, is that going to be in March?
It's in March. So I don't know the date, but it's March.
The filing deadline for that, it would be December of this year, I think.
Well, that would be a good question for the Board of Elections instead of I think.
So we would still have to do that. We'd have to act on it this year.
So it's a two-step process, as the finance director said. We would have a resolution so that it could go to the auditor's office. So that would be determined what the property tax value is for the city of Willoughby Hills. And once that comes back, then the ordinance can be drawn up with the ballot language to determine how we want to do it, whether it's a renewal, whether it's renewal and another millage, and those would be good discussions to have, in a couple months. So, okay. Thank you, Frank. City Engineers Report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. The Dodd Bank Stabilization Project is proceeding on schedule. They have all the drilled piers installed and the bank stabilized with rock. They're working on forming and pouring the parapet walls, which are above grade, and they anticipate being complete within about a month. Okay. In addition to the street program, which started construction today, we're trying to get the 2019 sewer project going. We're trying to get the contract signed and schedule a pre-con meeting with that contractor. On your agenda today is Ordinance 2019-53. This is to enter an agreement with the Ohio Public Works for financing of the Dodd resurfacing project. I would request that you waive the three reading rule and adopt that with an emergency clause. We'd like to get that contract or that agreement signed by the end of July, so that we can enter an agreement with the contractor. We're accepting bids for that project this coming Tuesday, July 16th. So it would be nice to start the resurfacing project soon after the bank stabilization project, since the road is getting torn up. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Mr. DeFranco. Any questions for the city engineer this evening?
Madam President. Mr. DeFranco. So you said that the Dodd Road Bank Stabilization Project should be done in about a month, so that'll make it a couple weeks behind schedule, we think. And then after that, when do we think the resurfacing project will begin?
Maybe by the end of September.
It will start at the end of September?
It depends on the contractor's schedule, but that's our intent.
So we should have a month or so where nothing will be going on. We can drive. I can see the mayor again. I miss him. Right. I haven't seen him drive by in a long time.
Yeah.
We can go down there and see the river again.
Yeah. And yeah. The road should be open for the most part during the resurfacing.
Great. Yeah. And do you know if pedestrian traffic will be opened back up before the end of this project? Or is it going to be closed until the middle of August or so?
It will probably be closed until the middle of August.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions for...
Madam President? Mr. DeFranco, as you know, I've been going back and forth with you for a while about the potholes on Camelot. We've had a number of residents complaining, and I know that you've been working with our street superintendent to address it. Do we have a sense of when we might have the service crew out there to do a little pothole filling?
Yeah, Mark said he's currently working on Oakwood, I believe, and he moved to Camelot right after that, so I would suspect within a month.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Pete. Just for the record, I will excuse Councilman Hallam at 7:27 p.m. The next is committee reports. Are there any council chairs that want to share anything about their respective committees? Seeing none, I'll go to other committee representative reports. Vice President Pleshnik.
Madam President, once again, the quarterly meeting of the Cuyahoga County Airport Noise Abatement Council occurred 10 a.m. this morning, and as our Willoughby Hills representative, I wanted to briefly share a couple of high notes from the meeting. First, there were 15 aircraft complaints this quarter, down by one from last year, so pretty steady, 12 of which were from Willoughby Hills. A lot of those complaints stemmed from the now infamous 1941 Boeing Sturman biplane, bright red. It was flying mostly over Kirtland airspace, but using the Cuyahoga County Airport as its base of operations to practice wing walking. It is now done. The plane, I'm told, is headed up to Niagara for its first air show, and it will not be back this year. I inquired, is it likely to come back again next year? Are we going to expect this as the usual? And I was informed that they use different airports, and the last time they were here other than this year was 12 years ago, so you might see them again in a decade, but they're not likely to be back next year. I should also note that aircraft operations were actually up pretty substantially for the second quarter of this year compared to the second quarter of last year, almost 1,000 more operations at 6,288. And the airport manager, Robert Hartigan, thought this was because now that airport construction is largely finished, the runway is no longer being closed. So with the airport open more, you're going to have a lot more operations as a result. You might recall that the Noise Abatement Council, of which Willoughby Hills is a member, was actually formed a little over 40 years ago with a joint statement that our city signs with Cuyahoga County, Richmond Heights, Highland Heights, and the tenants of the airport. Everyone is signed. Willoughby Hills is signed, except, once again, for Five Star Aviation and Eaton Corporation. And we're told that they only want to sign when the aircraft or the airport reconstruction is absolutely complete. And apparently there's one last detail. In our construction report, we learned that in addition to a little bit of regrading and a final cleanup that's going to happen with work crews starting the week of July 22nd, the AWAS, or the Automatic Weather Operations System, has not been commissioned or certified yet by the FAA. There's a little bit of interference between the radio signal that the AWAS is sending out with the automatic weather updates and the radio signal from the control tower. And obviously, it's not a good thing if you're having a conflict between the signals of the control tower in the automatic weather system. So the plan to fix that is to take all the equipment, the radio tower, the computers that broadcast the automatic weather updates out of the control tower itself. They believe that's probably the design flaw, having the antenna right next to the other antenna, probably not a good idea, and move it over to the airport building, and that distance should deal with the interference. So hopefully the other tenants will sign on soon, but I said if they don't, we can always pound them into submission with corny jokes. I mean, Eaton and Five Star, I'm thinking we could be eating some Five Star hot dogs if they don't sign the agreement. But hopefully they will sign on soon. In general discussion, there were two important items. The airport manager first wanted to share that many municipal building departments are not aware that there are special notification and permitting requirements for any proposed construction near public use airports and heliports like the Cuyahoga County Airport. And these requirements are largely geared towards preventing obstructions that are too high, so they interfere with the flight paths or the landings. And so there's both federal and state requirements, although Ohio law largely tracks federal law, and if you pull the permit through the FAA, you've generally complied with the Ohio Airport Protection Act. Nonetheless, the airport manager insisted that I give our city building department a little brochure on the rules, because apparently a lot of crane operators have been violating the rules recently. Sometimes you'll hire a crane to put an air conditioner on your roof. As close as we are to the Cuyahoga County Airport, apparently many of us are subject to these rules. So as an FYI, the airport manager wanted all the city representatives to give their building departments a little reminder, because these are ultimately for safety. We don't want a crane in an airplane having an unfortunate altercation. Speaking of safety and airplanes, many of you may have seen the newspaper newspapers report that President Donald Trump is going to be visiting Northeast Ohio. He actually wanted to land at the Cuyahoga County Airport, but apparently his plane was too huge. It was too big for the weight limits on the runway, and so they denied his request. As a result, Mr. Trump will be landing in Hopkins, but will be using a helicopter, apparently, to fly to his destination, hopscotching along. As a result, apparently, wherever Air Force One or its equivalent, wherever the president's aircraft is located, there is both a 10 and a 30-mile radius where there are varying restrictions. They call them TFRs, or temporary flight restrictions, based on VIP transport. And as a result, you might actually have a quiet Thursday and Friday at the airport, because he is going to be close enough that we're going to be in that 10-mile super restricted area for quite a while. And unless if you have a flight plan and meet fairly rigorous standards, you're not allowed to fly through those areas. So amateur or training flights, those simply won't be permitted because they don't have detailed enough flight plans. So you actually may have a quiet Thursday and Friday at the airport as a result of Mr. Trump's visit. The last part of my update is that our next meeting will be October 10th, once again, 10 a.m. at the airport. These meetings are open to the public, and we have public portions, so we encourage you to join us.
Thank you, Vice President Plushnik. Any questions? Thank you. Our next order of business is public portion, and this is an opportunity for the public to come forward. We ask that you state your name and your address for the record, and I will open public portion at 7:57 p.m.
Doris? Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. I missed a council meeting several weeks ago, but was able to watch some of it on the Government Access Channel. I had forgotten how poor the quality was of the audio-visual broadcast. About 18 months ago, I asked if something could be done to improve or upgrade this service. Dave, you had volunteered at that time to look into it, so I would like to know what you have accomplished or the status of this matter. And also, I just wanted to say how really pleased I am that there's so much positive stuff going on in our city, especially about the news of the produce packaging and bringing 300 jobs to our city. From attending the council meetings, I know the owner said he needed Jobs Ohio support to come to our city, so I'd like to know which of our public officials went to the meetings with Jobs Ohio and Sam's Club to bring this opportunity to Willoughby Hills so that they can be recognized, and thanks for all of the negotiations that they did. Again, it's great having good news about our city. And on that point, the newspaper said that we have a rent-free lease for 10 years for our new police substation. This was a very substantial negotiation, and again, I would like to recognize and thank those who were involved in this matter as well. This is an enormous improvement for our area. And lastly, on a personal note, I would like to thank the Willoughby Hills Fire Department. We had a very unusual alarm from our first alert carbon monoxide detector. We contacted the manufacturer, who advised us to call the fire department just to be safe. We called on the non-emergency line to ask for assistance, and shortly after that, two firemen came to investigate and found our home to be safe. I appreciate their prompt response and professionalism and concern for us. Thank you to all who serve on our safety forces.
Thank you, Doris. Jenna?
Hi. Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. Three topics. Bringing back Whisper. I would be interested, Mayor, if you spoke to the insurance company about the liability that the city would have in regards to having a service like that and how it would be covered. I ran across an old volunteer form that said, you know, volunteering can be dangerous, and I'm sure that's like mowing a lawn, and yes, technically it can be dangerous, and the volunteers, were signing off saying, I will not hold the city anywhere accountable for this, no liability. But who's going to cover the liability if you help a senior and the senior then gets really mad and sues the city? That's the problem with Whisper. I want to make sure that, yes, it's how it gets managed is good, but also how we handle the liabilities, how do we make sure that this is really set up in a way that we aren't opening ourselves up as a village, as a city, to some kind of liability in the future. And I expect our insurance company has a lot to say about that, because they have to cover it. The employee handbook, I definitely endorse using outside help on this, because it, you know, an employee shouldn't be writing it, because then they're the one that everybody's going to go to also and say, well, what's wrong? I don't understand why this is the law. You know, this is why our handbook says it this way. It puts a really bad situation out there versus having somebody with a little bit more distance, a little bit more explanation about why you have a handbook written in a certain way to satisfy and make all the employees happy. So I truly endorse spending that amount of money. I also saw on the thing that there would be for a minimal cost, consulting over the next year in case questions came up that were unforeseen through that process. And so I think that itself is also a very valuable aspect of having somebody outside deal with it from that standpoint. The thing I was going to really speak about, and I'll talk real fast, is Mr. Berkachek's is on second reading for a pay raise. And I'm really struggling with this because this sounds like we're just like, well, we gave the unions 2%, we're going to give everybody else 2%, whether they deserve it or not. And Mr. Berkachek has really not done things that are required by law. He was late getting the budget to you all for approval, even though they said that they would get it to you early. It didn't even make the 30 days, which is in the charter. And he also is in violation of the charter all through the year by not providing monthly reports, which are part of the charter and a requirement for his job. So I don't quite understand why we're going to give a raise to somebody who has not been doing their job at a what I would consider a minimal level. And there has been no kind of, the only thing was like, well, we've been really busy and there was a lot of stuff going on. I'm sorry. It's your job. And if you can't do your job, that doesn't mean that you should get a 2% raise just because everybody else is getting a 2% raise. I think it would be very valuable to look back and see, particularly since this is retroactive for 2 years, this is a senior level position, and I have concerns about that. I don't have concerns when it was in regards to even the assistant and for the part-time police and fire and all of those. There's rationale for that. There's, you know, those are kind of lower level jobs. This is a senior level job. And I do not necessarily understand if this is really a good thing. So I'm glad it's only on second reading, and I hope it doesn't get approved tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenna. Anyone else this evening? Anthony?
Anthony Camino, 2972 Lynn Drive. I noticed the ordinance regarding a part-time recreation coordinator. I would suggest that as we move forward, obtaining quality people really, we ought to think about a full-time position there that perhaps would also involve senior programming. Our city is getting older, so while recreation is important for the young people, it certainly is important for the old people, and I think it'll be a challenge to find a part-time person who can address all the needs of the city moving forward. I'm not sure how that might affect hiring someone right now, but I think visioning for the future that a rec position really could be full-time in our city. I mean, if we have the ability to do that. I also would just like to say that things have been a little chaotic at times with lawsuits and things. And again, I'm not sure everything you need to do, Mr. Berkachek, but it is difficult when the city is not running smoothly as it is right now. It always hasn't been that way. So if the people who run the city believe that you've done the best you could, people deserve to be compensated well for their jobs. And so if we deem that appropriate, I would support that on the part of the council.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening? Okay, I will close public portion at 8:05 p.m. Okay, unfinished business. Let's see. Doris inquired about the upgrading the service of the government access channel, which I believe was supposed to be at some point in a communication ad hoc committee. Councilman Fiebig, she specifically asked if you had any comments.
Madam President, Ms. Dodge, that was discussed at great length, and we had meetings here, physically looked at the facilities here, and came to the conclusion that approximately $25,000 was needed to make that a better system, and I requested that to be in the budget, and it was not put in the last budget nor this current one. So the wishes of council make that a priority, then absolutely we can move forward with it.
Thank you. Jobs Ohio and the Sam's Club meeting, I was not part of that, so I don't know.
Madam President, I could share. There was one penultimate meeting with Jobs Ohio at the Sam's Club building that happened last year. The owner and his representatives personally reached out, I think, to the mayor and I. The mayor was unable to attend. I did go, and I asked our councilwoman, Laura Pigemot, to attend as well, because in her prior employment with Sherwin-Williams, she was actually responsible for negotiating tax abatements and dealing with economic development issues on the employer, on the company side, and I thought that would be very helpful to have her there. And I think we're also very lucky, since you asked broadly about public officials, that the Lake County Port Authority sent their director of coastal development, who, as luck would have it, was my former student, Peter Zahersky. And I think with the three of us advocating hard for the city, we were able to answer the questions that Jobs Ohio had about planning and zoning, the city's intended support of the project, and our personal commitment to making produce packaging happen for our residents. And we were very excited when Jobs Ohio decided to support the project. So I would definitely, if you're going to extend thanks, extend them to Councilwoman Pigemot for stepping up and helping us to close the deal, as well as Peter Zahersky, who, while young, has already accomplished a lot in terms of economic development for our county.
Thank you.
Madam President, prior to the Jobs Ohio meeting that Councilman Plechnik referred to, Mayor Wager and I, back on September 11th, had of 2018, in response to a phone call that I received from a resident here who had a friend who was the consultant for this produce packaging company. And so I arranged that meeting to happen with the six of us, and then there was a subsequent meeting. During both of those meetings and in numerous phone calls, we did discuss Jobs Ohio, and we told them to contact them and to get them involved, as well as negotiating all of the other various things that went on, from planning and zoning to our economic package that we would offer to everything else that had to be discussed. So that was two subsequent meetings, personally here at in the council conference room, and also multiple phone calls prior to that. The police substation was another question that you asked. Now, officially, back in 2017, in a safety committee meeting, we formally discussed it. But I believe it's been a conversation that's been had. I wouldn't say that that's the first time that it was ever talked about. But the opportunity came to the mayor, as I understood it, from the business owner down there, to offer the place that they're currently in for free. So because of that, it became more urgent. Now, when we were at the EOC, I remember sitting down with you and Chief Collins, and we talked about that, as maybe that was the first time we the three of us sat down. We were talking about the dispatch center and that move that saved us thousands of dollars, but we also talked seriously about how would that look and how would that work. So I think at that time we got pretty much on board, and the three of us had agreed, and that's when we presented it to council.
Madam President, if I could add, I remember when Ray Somich, our council president in the past, as well as the owner, had approached actually Council President Fellows and I, and she had asked, or I should say they asked her, you know, why aren't we seeing any motion? We've talked a little bit with Councilman Fiebig and the mayor, but we haven't seen any motion on this. And I hadn't personally been talked to at that point with respect to the issue of the lease, but from what I'd seen, the offer was 5 years rent-free and then 5 years at a pretty substantial cost to the city. And my response to Mr. Fritz and our friend Mr. Somich was, I really think that for the city to make a commitment to establish a police substation, which is going to require us to put a lot of resources on the west side to really change the way we do business, we really need to see a 10-year rent-free lease. And Council President Fellows and I ultimately met with them, and they agreed to our counterproposal. So the initial offer on the table, which the owner brought to the mayor very generously, was 5 years rent-free, 5 years paid by the city. But Council President Fellows and I felt very strongly that for us to make that investment, we really needed to see 10 years. And we were very grateful that J. Scott Scheel immediately came back, the new owner of the plaza, and said, absolutely, we want to be a good partner, and we will do it. So very quickly, we were able to reach an agreement that really improved the deal for the city. And Mr. Scheel is also very generously paying for the renovations to the building. We've only paid for the signs, I think, and we'll be paying for the utilities as they come in. So I think everyone at this dais agrees that it's a really great step forward. But I have to say, my personal thanks go to our council president for cutting that final deal and getting us not 5 but 10 years rent-free, because that's twice as good from the perspective of a taxpayer.
Madam President. I'd just like to throw in, too, that let's not forget our Chief Collins. He has expressed to us that he's been wanting a substation over there for probably 17, 18 years. So that's a really good example of him sitting, patiently waiting, not giving up on that idea till all these things came together and made it possible. So he's just very, very excited, as we are also.
Thank you. Any more unfinished business for the evening? Moving forward to legislation. The first ordinance is ordinance number 2019-45.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a Community Reinvestment Act agreement by and between the City of Willoughby Hills and 27853 Chardon Road, LLC, property owner, Produce Packaging, Inc., operator, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 2019-45.
Second.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt ordinance number 2019-45. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I would just say that this is the culmination of not just the biggest economic development moment in Willoughby Hills, but really the entire west side of Lake County in the last 20 years, and everyone from our police and fire chiefs who've worked with Produce Packaging to try to make this as seamless a transition as possible, to our elected officials who've all put in an enormous amount of time and effort to make the best deal to the taxpayer, really should be commended for this effort. This is the biggest one. I mean, 155,000 square feet, the biggest building in Willoughby Hills, the old Sam's Club building. If there's one conversation I've had once, it's a million times in this city, we need to fill Sam's Club. We need a new anchor for the shops of Willoughby Hills. And I think it's really the start to a new era there, because you're going to see now three shifts, 24 hours a day, workers in that plaza. So a lot of the issues, both real and perceived with crime, go away, not only because we have a police substation for the safety of our neighborhoods, but because we have hardworking people who are going to be in and out of that plaza all the time. And I'm willing to take a bet with anyone here that we're going to see those restaurants fill very quickly, because that is a captive audience who is going to have to, as they work, eat and pay into our community and our coffers as well. So Produce Packaging is not the end of our job. No one is saying mission accomplished, but it is a heck of a first step, and we really should be proud as a community.
I'd like to share, too. So this morning I had discussions with the owner of Produce Packaging and also with a representative from Incentive, which is the company that manages securing the tax credits. And then the mayor and I talked later this afternoon, and he assured me that the school board notification has been filed, so all pieces and parts have been put together. And so for our third reading, we needed that amount of time to have all the puzzle pieces put together. So I appreciate that. Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-45 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019-49.
An ordinance adopting a tax budget for the fiscal year 2020 for the city of Willoughby Hills.
We had a public hearing this evening on this. We've had a commentary from the finance director. This needs to be submitted on or before July 15th. This was second reading. I look for a motion to waive and adopt.
Madam President, motion to waive the ordinance 2019-49.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-49. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-49 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Motion to adopt Ordinance 2019-49.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adopt Ordinance 2019-49. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-49 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance Number 2019-53.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a project grant loan agreement with the Ohio Public Works Commission for the sole and express purpose of financing or reimbursing costs of the Dodd Road resurfacing project and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to waive the two-day notification rule for Ordinance Number 2019-53.
Second.
Three reading.
Is it three reading first and then two notification second? I thought this had been changed from the agenda.
It's not. It was just clarification, not substantial change.
Was
not
it?
Substantial change.
It is?
No.
It's not? Okay. So I changed my motion to waiving the three reading rule then.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2019-53. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-53 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2019-53.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance 2019-53. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I just want to clarify that there was the way the dollar amount was listed didn't break it down between having a grant and an interest-free loan, which is the amount that the county is chipping in for this project. So our city engineer had asked that we break it out to show the amount of the grant and the amount of the interest-free loan. So that's the change that was made between the time it was put on the agenda till tonight.
Madam President. And a question for the law director. Did you thoroughly review the exhibit, the contract?
I did have a chance to review it. And from my perspective, the only thing we did was to clarify how the dollars were broken down. So that's why I saw it as more of a clarification rather than a change.
Very good. Thank you.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-53 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019-54.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills, Ohio, and Clemens, Nelson, and Associates, Inc. to assist in the development of an employee handbook and declaring an emergency.
This ordinance will stay on first reading. The next is Ordinance 2019-55.
An ordinance confirming the appointment of and fixing the compensation for the position of part-time recreation coordinator, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
I'd like to move to waive three readings of 2019-55.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-55. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I had a chance to review thoroughly the employment application and all the attachments. I hope you all did, too. Mayor, did you want to weigh in on the hiring of this person?
She's on a cruise right now. She gets back tonight. And last time we had an ordinance for this, we waited too long, and she took another job. So I would hope that we move quickly on this to facilitate getting someone over there.
I also believe, Madam President, that there was some issue about doing some training and that Kyle was available, but limited availability. So the longer we have to possibly have her help train, I think would be very important.
Kyle and Denise will be training. So Denise in the building department, she previously held that job, so she helped train that job.
So information about Kyle assisting has been she's available to the end of May only. Then it became she was available to the end of June only. Then it became she's available to the end of July only. And I know she's been paid consultation fees. So hopefully with this hire and her help along with Denise Edwards, we can move forward on this.
Madam President,
yes.
I would just ask the mayor the simple question. Do you fully recommend this person for the job?
Yes.
Thank you.
The vote is for suspending the three-reading rule. Nikki?
Lenz.
I'm going to say no.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Bibig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-55 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2019-55.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Pismo and a second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt Ordinance 2019-55. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-55 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019-56.
An ordinance engaging the legal services of Todd D. Cipolla Company, LPA, to perform prosecution work as city police prosecutor, fixing compensation, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance Number 2019-56.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2019-56. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Fleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
No.
The three-reading rule has been waived on Ordinance 2019-56.
Madam President?
Councilman Pismo?
Motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2019-56.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adopt Ordinance 2019-56. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Fleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
No.
Ordinance 2019-56 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2019, pay increase for the finance director, and that will remain on second reading.
Madam President?
It was put in committee last 2 weeks ago.
I was just wondering why there was no number on it.
Because it went into committee. And it can be numbered any time.
Thank you.
as the next, which is Ordinance 2019, the pay increase for the Assistant Finance Director, and that will be put on second reading, stay on second reading as well, as that was assigned to committee.
And Madam President, may I ask, when is that committee meeting to discuss those?
I have not been notified by the chairs this time.
Which committee?
Finance and or Personal Relations.
Can we ask the chairs if they have any plans as of now?
I'm sure they will let us know.
Madam President, may I ask the chairs of Finance and Personal Relations, do you have any plans to meet to discuss these two issues?
Madam President, is that an acceptable question?
I said that the chairs are responsible for their committees, Mr. Fiebig. Mm-hmm. And when they have an opportunity to call a meeting, they will pull their members.
It's just a question. Just a question.
Well, I'm sure when they have the availability for a meeting, they will announce it to us.
Madam President, I don't mind to say that I have no meeting scheduled at this time.
Okay. Madam President, while we're on the brief side topic of asking questions, I am curious why Mr. Fiebig voted no on Ordinance Number 2019-56 for the appointment of Todd Cipolla.
That's a personnel matter that I'd rather not discuss publicly.
Well, I would say my vote was based on the mayor, the police chief, and the law director's recommendation, but I appreciate Mr. Fiebig's desire to keep his intentions or considerations confidential.
Ordinance 2019 BFI contract amendment.
An ordinance amending the contract between Browning Ferris Industries of Ohio, Inc., BFI, and the City of Willoughby Hills for a citywide trash and recycling program and repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Pismo.
Motion to table Ordinance Number 2019-BFI contract amendment, second reading.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Mica to table Ordinance Number 2019 BFI contract amendment. There is no discussion on a table. Vicki, please call the roll.
Lenz.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance Number 2019 BFI contract amendment has been tabled. The next is new business. Is there any new business to bring forth to council this evening? For the good of the order or the community this evening? Councilman Fiebig?
The university hospitals will be offering family health and safety days on right next door to us in Richmond Heights at the UH Richmond Medical Center on Saturday, August 10th from 9 to 1. There's free health screenings that are be walk-up health screenings for things like blood pressure, hearing, cholesterol, and things like that. And there's also pre-registration available for other more intensive health screenings. And more information would be at 216-404-7958.
Thank you. Anyone else for the good of the order or the community this evening?
Madam President, since our Recreation Commission representative is not here right now, I would like to remind anyone who is interested in going to Willoughby Hills Night at the Captain's Game. The game is on July 20th at 7 o'clock, but there is a parade beginning at 6 o'clock of all the Willoughby Hills baseball and softball kids, which is going to be very fun. I will have two entrants in that parade. The deadline to register for tickets, anyone can go, is tomorrow, July 12th. And you can email your registration, fax it, or drop it off at the box office. And again, anyone with children who play softball or baseball for Willoughby Hills get one ticket, one free ticket per kid who is a baseball or softball player in our city.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn?
Not yet, Madam President. I have tickets to Willoughby Hills Night, but I also want to invite our many Slovenian residents to Slovenian Heritage Night at the Captain's on August 26th. And actually, SNPJ Farm Kirtland is hosting that event. If you want to, you can get discount tickets through them for only $7. And it is Buck Night Monday, which means dollar hot dogs. So, just saying, whether you're Slovenian or just cheap as the rest of us, join us on Buck Night Monday, August 26th.
Any other for the good of the order or the community? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Plushnik to adjourn the meeting. There is no discussion on adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Feebig.
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned at 8:30 p.m. Thank you, everybody.